We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no, there's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. This is episode 496. We're brought to you today by Indeed.com and BetOnline. Go check them out. They've been with us for the long haul, it seems. I mean, BetOnline's been with us from the very beginning of the shutdown. Scott, you're finally not in your apartment. You're finally not in your house. You're in an apartment in Boston. Is this like the first time you've left your house since March?
It's not the first time I've left my house, but it's not.
No, overnight. Overnight, I mean.
No, we got like an Airbnb out in the middle of nowhere. But yeah, pretty close to it.
Well, I remember that. Wasn't there a situation with some animals in that?
Probably. It seems like there's always a situation with animals. They're always
they're out to
completely
get
messing with me. Yeah. No. It's been a while, but this is something I haven't really talked too much about. This just because we've been doing the show every day and really not much has changed, but we've been practically locked down even more than I'd say most just because of Kemp and his health issues. So we have been really, really staying at home, trying to take care of that. And it was because we're preparing for his next surgery. And that's why I'm in Boston. So it's been 3 years, 2.5 years now since the last time I've been up here for this reason. I was up here for work at one point, but we're back, in an apartment, staying close to the hospital. We'll be up here for a period of time. He's got surgery coming up next week, so we have a big week of appointments and all these things. So yeah, man, back in the shit, as we said. It's like, it feels like when Bevan and I were walking up and down the streets here, we're like, oh, back in the shit. My complicated relationship with the city of Boston resumes. So yeah, that's where we are.
Yeah, we did an episode from when Kemp was born,
right,
from the room that you guys were in, or that apartment that you guys were in when he was
in
born
Fenway.
That week. I remember that. Yeah,
Yeah,
you could, like, you could probably throw a rock. Born, maybe.
You could throw a rock and hit the stadium. That's how close we were in that place. This one, we're closer to the hospital. So it's good just because he's older and he's going to, you know, he's going to want us to be around. We're going to want to be around closer and just more convenient. But yeah, it's wild. It really is. Because when we're up here, it's what I know for I've been up here for two reasons. One was to get drunk with my buddy Devon, and that's how and that became us sneaking into Fenway, getting onto the monster, sneaking onto the monster, debauchery, just complete debauchery in my 20s in Boston, going backwards in a car, getting pulled over by a police car, throwing a beer can at police car.
It's all the same night.
Same weekend. It could have been the same night. I have no idea. But we were, we were hanging out with one of the cops off duty, and like their relationship together is unbelievable. Like, I definitely thought I was going to jail forever. But and then there's this side of it where we're up here with Kemp, you know, for heart surgery. So again, complicated relationship with the city of Boston. You put the backdrop of the Red Sox Yankees rivalry in there, and it's quite a mixture of feelings for me. But I will say this: the last time, I was very disappointed because I made it a point every single day walking to and from Fenway, from the Fenway area. Because if you're not familiar with Boston, Fenway Park is in the area in the district, Fenway district of Boston. So we would walk from our apartment in Fenway to the hospital. And every single day I had something on, whether it was a Yankees hat, whether it was Bronx this, Bronx that. Every day I made it a point to wear something. And I was very disappointed because many times, for whatever reason, probably three times, I was going against foot traffic released from the stadium to go into the apartment with all this. And nobody said a damn word to me.
Well, so first of all, we learned that's because the rivalry essentially died in 2004 after the Red Sox came
They're back. Just not emotionally passionate anymore about losing.
But also, particularly the Fenway area, not a lot of people from Massachusetts or from Boston live there.
Well, it was literally the traffic coming from the stadium. The game just ended.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, no, the game I timed it perfectly by accident, totally not even knowing that there was a game or that it was ending. And I would walk against the traffic. Just me. No one else is walking my way.
Well, I'm basically just holding up a sign. I am a Yankees fan.
That's essentially
Please
what my clothes were wearing.
Talk shit to me so I can say something back.
I was ready the whole time. I'm ready. I have like things in my, I'm ready to go. Nobody said anything. Not even like, nobody even called me an asshole, like nothing. It was very disappointing.
Yeah, it's just been neutered. It's all just like, you know, pink hats and Sweet Caroline the edge was taken out of the Red Sox fans after they won. I guess I get it.
Yeah, it does make sense when you look at what
that suffering is no longer there, and suffering is what really makes sports fans psychotic.
Yes. It's how you get jaded.
And when that's no longer there, and from the Yankees fans' perspective, it was an equal edge was there because we knew, don't let them beat us.
Right.
Because once they do, then we'll never hear the end of it. So it was constantly the big brother always has to keep their foot on the throat of the little brother. You cannot let the little brother dunk on you.
Right.
You cannot let the little brother put you in a chokehold. Whatever wrestling, whatever sport you're playing with your little brother, you always have to establish dominance so they always fear you for the rest of their life. I don't have a little brother. I'm just imagining how this
So is. When I was in the basement at one point, when I was, I forget how old I was, maybe 12 or 13, I was like, there was the workshop was in next to our area in the basement where we would play and hang out, and we did ping pong, basket, everything in the basement. There was a hammer there, and I was like threatening my brother. I wasn't like going to do anything. We were pretty far away from each other. You know, I was just like threatening. I don't even know what was happening. But the head of the hammer flew off of the hammer and like nailed him on the foot.
You're older brother. So you're like, oh my God, I just killed my little brother.
Yeah. So that took things to an extreme.
While you're in the area, maybe take a lap around Fenway Park, do like an ocular pat down of the stadium just to make sure that, you know, Cora hasn't planted any new cameras.
It's true,
around the stadium since he's back, he's rehired, which I think we called from day one.
It was like, relatively obvious. I mean, yeah, just the fact that these guys got in trouble for, I mean, was it purely just because they had to do it for to save face, right? Not even to save face. Yeah. How do you save face when you know that it's being done to save face? No.
I don't think at this point, now knowing Hinch and Cora got jobs immediately, and Cora just got his old job back. And he basically, I mean, think about from Alex Cora's perspective, you set out the COVID season. Like,
they both did. They're both like, okay, no, this was fine.
But at least Hinch, I mean, Hinch went from a World Series contending team to a rebuilding team. Like, in that sense, it's, I mean, Cora just picked up where he left off as if it never happened. It's
well,
like
his players are a little different. His player, he's got a different right fielder, so.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, it's baseball. There's a long history of cheating in baseball, and it seems like they 9 times out of 10 sweep it under the rug, and then they try and make an example out of one person or one situation. I think of like Pete Rose. Pete Rose was made an example of as far as betting in baseball goes.
I don't know how Rose is not back in baseball at this point. Now that AJ Hinch is in a dugout with a new team that's young, one of the youngest in the league, how can you possibly look in the mirror and say, yeah, Pete, it's been however many years, 40 years, 35 years, whatever it's been. No.
Well, I think it comes down to likability, because think about, especially you can really see it in the steroid era stuff. Think about the players who are still basically ostracized from the league. Roger Clemens being a prime example of a guy who's like, he's one of the poster children of PED era. You agree?
Yeah.
He's not likable. He was never likable.
Neither was Barry Bonds. He was back in the game.
Barry Bonds was back in the game, and that's maybe a counterpoint.
McGuire back in the game.
McGuire was loved.
Like, I know,
about?
But that era, if you were like putting a blanket on that era, you're saying the individual people. I don't think that Roger Clemens was like the fall guy for that. If anybody, it was Barry Bonds.
It was Clemens on the pitching standpoint, and it was Bonds on the hitting standpoint.
That's fine, but the whole thing, if you're looking at, if you said one person, everybody would say Bonds.
Maybe. Yeah, probably. And you're right. Bonds did. He was the hitting coach for a little while for Miami. But Clemens doesn't get, this was back to the history episode I did on Clemens. Like, dude didn't even get a invite to stadium closing, old timers day, all that stuff. You'd think.
That's also a Yankee brand thing too, where they don't want to
bring that back. But they invite Andy Pettit back. They invite Jason Giambi back. They invite all these PED implicated
guys. Andy
Pettit
didn't mean to do it.
Right, yeah, Roger Clemens injected. Roger Clemens,
Roger,
in
fact, in
that
fact, Roger Clemens, brainwashed Andy Pettit into doing it. That's the story.
I think it comes down to likability, and Andy was the good Southern kid from Texas who apologized for his wrongdoings, and he was loved, not just liked. He was loved.
Right, that's true. No, it's true. I don't even know what we were talking about here, but the And I think also Roger Clemens.
Well,
has,
cheating,
has
of
made
course,
some,
because it's baseball.
Well, when you don't back down, when you still, it's also a matter of acknowledging things that have happened, and Clemens still hasn't. So it's part of the reason why nobody can let him back in, because he's still.
Do you think
acting
though, if Clemens
like his shit doesn't stink?
If Clemens got up there like Pettit, hand up, yep, did it. Sorry, my bad. Do you think it would be different?
Yes, definitely, 1,000%. Everybody loves a
Mark McGuire didn't do that. I mean,
McGuire's definitely been a lot more contrite and has talked about it.
But even in that documentary, the one with Sosa, I forget
what
it's called.
It.
The one that was like the 30 for 30 that came out a couple months ago. He still didn't talk about it. It's like, dude, talk about it at this point.
I will say this every single time. Some of these guys, him included, The bottle of Andro, I always refer to this, like the locker room interviews with a bottle of Andro just sitting in his locker room. He wasn't hiding it. It was nothing for him to hide.
Also,
it wasn't illegal at that point. And then
that wasn't illegal, and you could go buy that at GNC.
Right. So I'm just saying, like, it's a scenario where clearly he knows that he did things. Everybody
but we know
else
he wasn't
he
just
things.
Doing Andro. It's not like he was only doing Andro.
No,
he
I know that, but it's
he was
it's
doing
part
hardcore
of it.
Steroids.
But it doesn't matter. Either both of them would be illegal at that point. You would get popped for either a horse steroid.
No,
or
no,
Andro.
Because it goes back to the Astros cheating scandal. I mean, it's okay,
everybody knows steroids. They don't specifically know which one.
You get pulled over for going 10 miles and over the speed limit, or you get pulled over for going double the speed limit. Like
it's still
a
speeding
difference.
Ticket.
I know that, but the officer is going to treat you a little bit differently if you're going 65 and a 55, or if you're going 95 and a 55.
The officer is going to treat you differently, but when you tell people about it and they remember 10 years ago, they're going to say, "Oh yeah, you got a speeding ticket." Whether it was whatever it was, doesn't matter.
Well, the punishments will be slightly different. Yeah, the Astros getting back to the Astros thing, because that's how we got on this whole thing. Baseball set the precedent for Cora and Hinch and maybe potentially Lunau, because I saw some news, some rumors that Lunau was potentially interviewing for some GM jobs.
Probably
in the running for some GM jobs.
Doesn't surprise me, I guess, at this point.
Baseball by
I would think
the
that
Astros we, on the wrist.
He's probably the most unhirable of the three.
But at this stage, I didn't think he was going to get hired when we talked about this back in January, February. But at this point, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets a job.
Yeah, no, me either.
Front office job of some kind.
Me either.
Because if you're an owner, what are you looking at? You're looking at bottom line stuff. Oh, he won. He made money for the organization.
And right now, that's a very, very important proposition. You need to be able to turn over a winner and one that makes money for your organization, because they're losing, you know, hand over fist. Profits, if they're in the red, however you want to call it, they're losing money.
We don't even know. We mentioned, I think, last episode, Manfred saying $8 billion of some sort of revenue loss, or $6 billion. I forget the exact figure.
Some stupid money.
We're never going to know the bottom line number for all these franchises. Even Hal Steinbrenner in his postseason interview said the Yankees were hit harder than any team in baseball.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We don't know exactly what that means.
No, just but, for sure. I mean, again, you do things because you expect to make money, and then when that money doesn't come in, other things get more expensive or feel more expensive because you don't have the revenue that you thought. So you could look at it this a handful of ways. You're a rich guy in the NBA. You get signed to a huge contract. You buy 5 houses. Okay, you have the money. You're good. All of a sudden, you break your leg. You can't get another contract. Well, that's a problem.
Taxes on those houses are going to be a bitch.
Yeah. Better hope that market stays afloat.
So it's kind of been a slow week, I guess, as far as baseball news goes. There's some other news in the country, but we're not going to talk about that. There was an earthquake this morning, which you didn't feel, even though it happened in Massachusetts, and you're in Massachusetts. I was in Rhode Island this weekend. I was in Newport, and I felt the earthquake. First earthquake I've ever felt in my life. Hmm. The building, it felt like a train was going straight through the middle of the building, and it felt like if...
Now that you know it's an earthquake, are you exaggerating? Now that you know, because if you didn't know it was an earthquake, would you have said it felt like a train was going through the building?
Yeah, because Leanne looked at me and she was like, is that a train? I was like, there's no train around here. I first thought it was a train because we're accustomed. We lived in New York City for a long time. So we're accustomed just feeling like vibrations of the subway going under you. This felt like there was a subway going under you, but it was like a Roger Clemens steroid subway where it was just all of the injections. What? And this thing just, I don't know. It was like,
how do you compare an earthquake
It was a fierce locomotive.
You went to an interesting place.
The rumble lasted for between 3 and 5 seconds. I thought afterwards, like, was that an earthquake? Nah, it couldn't be an earthquake. It's the Northeast. Like,
I'm pretty happy I didn't feel it. I'm on the 20th floor of a building, so it's a good thing I didn't feel it.
My parents didn't feel it either, but the next door neighbor felt it. So who the hell knows what's going on? Yeah. Anyway, we've as far as Yankees topics go, we got a few things to talk about. We got a mailbag question a couple weeks ago from Alex. And I thought this is a good jumping off point for today. He says, I thought it was crazy when Mark Teixeira said trade Voit to move DJ to first full time and move Glaber back to second and sign Didi back. However, what do you think about a trade centered around Voit to make a play for Francisco Lindor? The Indians this week said Francisco Lindor is on the trading block, even though we already knew he was on the trading block. I guess they made it official or notified teams or whatever the hell needed to happen. But he's on the trading block. What do you think? What's your take on trading for Francisco Lindor? Because I think we both agree he's a great player. But what's your take on the Yankees being in on Francisco Lindor?
I don't have a problem with it by any means. I mean, I think Francisco Lindor, while he didn't have a very good season this past year, is a damn good ball player. I throw this past season away. It doesn't really mean much to me. Good or bad, to be honest, in some cases. I mean, case by case, you can look at certain things. But yeah, I think they should absolutely investigate and see what the price is and identify what the risk reward is, see what the return is, what they would have to give up, all of the above. They should be very, as Brian Cashman does, or at least as he talks about doing every year, they're going to look at every situation, they're going to assess it, and then identify if it's a fit or not a fit. And I think this should not be an exception. They've done business with the Cleveland Indians in the past. Seems like a nice little thing. They should continue to do that.
Does your opinion on this change at all because Glaber did not have a very good season?
No. Again, I throw that away. Again, I would throw Glaber in my camp of I don't really look at that as a huge negative at this point.
But if you're constructing the Yankees infield for the next 5 to 10 years, because if you trade for Francisco Lindor, I know he's a free agent after next year, but the idea wouldn't be just have Francisco Lindor for 2021. It would be sign Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, let me rephrase that. I am not looking at him as a I don't look at what happened this year as a negative towards Glaber by any means in the grand scheme of how I like him as a player. That does not mean that I am not making sense right now. I have no problem moving him position wise. Him Glaber going back to second base does not bother me. Like obviously there are things that would have to happen. That it does not bother me. So I think that if the cards went a certain way this offseason and there was an opportunity to acquire a shortstop, then you should look at that. So I don't think it's a problem by any means moving him. There's nothing saying that he should be entrenched at shortstop. Nothing he did this year says that I'm a good shortstop. So it doesn't matter.
If you want to throw out the offensive numbers from Glaber this year, which were, you know, basically league average, he hit .243 with a .356 on base, a .368 slugging, which was much lower than his slugging was expected to be because the dude hit, what was it, 38 home runs last year, hit three this year. He hit a .106 WRC plus. So he's a league average. He was a league average hitter this year. Fine. You want to throw that out? I'm with you. You're going to throw out the defense? Because I don't know if we can do that.
Yeah, no. So the defense is not, it's concerning, but at the same time, I'm not ready to kill him or give up on him by any means for that. I think that.
But isn't it fair to question if he's a shortstop, not just long-term, but near-term? Defensively? Defensive shortstop?
He's shown much better than he was this year in the past as well. So, and I think that this, when you look back at scouting reports, they had him as a natural shortstop for a very long time, for all the way through coming up.
I know, but we had a conversation, you know, towards the end of the regular season before the playoffs. Would the Yankees actually consider a defensive replacement for Glaber?
Look, I think the reason this conversation is happening is because of two things. Lindor's available on the trade market, and then Didi becomes a free agent again after that one-year contract. So you have two shortstops that can play the position. You could look back at Didi's last year with the Yankees, and he was not good shortstop in the field as well. But he's a better. We all know he's a better player than that. Same with offensive. He was.
But it's a bigger sample size with Didi at shortstop, with seeing it with
right.
Our
and
own
that's
eyes.
That's part of the reason why I'm not giving up on him. He's a young kid. Like I'm not looking at COVID year as the year I'm gonna like destroy his his defense, where I'm gonna look the other way for his offense. That's convenient. That's not what I'm gonna do. I don't think that's fair to the player either.
Do you think there's a psychological thing with Glaber or with player X? I'm the shortstop of the New York Yankees. That could affect me negatively if I put too much pressure on myself versus being the second baseman for the New York Yankees.
I mean, I guess from the outside in, you could say that. I don't think that's a big deal. I think that if you're a starting player for the New York Yankees, that's where you are. I mean, Glaber played second base the year before that, so he's seen it.
He played shortstop in the first half of 2019.
Right, because
but it was a temporary thing, and it was known to be a temporary thing because Didi was
I'm not even going down that rabbit hole as like a real thing. It's not a real thing.
Okay,
it's a talking point for anybody, but it's not a real thing. It's not a real thing. These are professional athletes, not a real thing.
Oh, I think some professional athletes that would get in their head definitely.
Okay, not here. This is not a thing for Glaber at all. I do not believe.
But
that.
I mean, some guys are soft as puppy poo. We know that.
Yeah, but he's not. He ain't one of them.
Well, if you did trade for Lindor, he would obviously be the shortstop, and Glaber would move back to second base. So where does that leave LeMahieu? Does that mean LeMahieu's not signed? As Alex said in this question, is that a situation now where you're looking to trade Voit? Are you looking to trade Gio, what are you doing? Because we all want DJ back. If they acquire Lindor, I don't imagine they're going to be trading away Glaber in that trade, because I look at what the Red Sox gave, what the Red Sox got for Mookie Betts last year. I know that included David Price's contract, so that's a big reason. But I don't think at this point the Indians are going to be able to demand like top three prospects in the organization for Lindor.
No, because of the contract. You cannot. It's a rental at this point. It's the right. same conversation we were having with about Lance Lynn when we were doing our GM plans. It's the same problem when you're a team trying to trade a player that only has 1 year left on their contract. It's a rental. You asking for the sky with long-term players and prospects doesn't make sense. And you're just not going to get it in return, especially now when everybody is scrutinizing the price of contracts. And never has there been a time when young players, controlled players, are more valuable to an organization and how to build. So I think that price is going to get harder and harder and harder to get rid of prospects, or to get prospects from other teams that have the potential to be in the major leagues, because those are so valuable to a team because of the way that the contracts are structured. And then arbitration, they're very team friendly when it comes to the contract. So if you have a guy that you believe in, it's going to have to be a hell of a load to get rid of him.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think about the idea of trading Luke Voit? Sell high on Luke Voit, just led the league in home runs.
Yeah.
Played through foot stuff.
He did. You know, look, I love Luke Voit and the way that he played, and he's got he's turned into a very good player. You could definitely argue though that this would be the time to trade him, because
he's locked up through arbitration. So we mentioned on the GM episode, he's going to be one of these super two players. So he's arbitration, I think, under for 4 years,
right?
4 years of team control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically through his prime. So when he's done with arbitration, he's kind of done, because he's going to be 33 at the end of his arbitration.
Yes. And yeah, so I it would not surprise me if they were to trade Voit at this point, to be honest.
But what do you get for a first baseman who can't really play first base? Because I don't know if the value is there on a trading standpoint for a first baseman.
Yeah, it does feel like they're a bit more of a common stock
when
you look at these guys. Yeah, I wouldn't say dime a dozen. I was looking for a better way to put that. That's the first thing that came into my head, and I said, that's not fair.
Well, it's easier to find a first baseman who can hit a bunch of home runs, especially in today's game, than it would be to
find a
shortstop or an outfielder who can play great defense as well, or obviously a premium defensive position, which first base is not.
I'll just say this. Chris Carter was the home run king in the National League.
Yeah, how did he do that? Imagine Chris Carter with the juice ball.
Chris Carter.
Actually, that still requires contact.
Home runs, I believe, right? It was over 50. I think he hit 50 plus. 50. That means he closed his eyes and made contact 50 times. And
pre-juice
it went out of the park.
Ball, too. Pre-juice ball.
Maybe. But that's unbelievable. That's some amazing. It's like using the force to hit the ball.
It's one of the more amazing feats in baseball history. I agree.
So when you look at the value and the
DiMaggio's 56 game hitting streak,
Chris Carter hitting 50
Ted
home
Williams
runs
hitting 406, and Chris Carter hitting 50 home runs
with his eyes closed. So that stat when it comes to the first baseman, I think is not as valued
home runs, especially now. Home runs, everyone's hitting home runs,
right?
If you're opposing GM, like, oh, you're going to trade me a first baseman who hits a lot of home runs, guess what? I have seven of those in my minor league system.
And while playing through injury is one of those, you know, fanfare things, you appreciate the player that much more because he's doing these things. It's not a notch up on your value when you're being shopped across the league. It's not one of those things. You're like, oh, well, how was this? Why did he have the foot stuff? What's up with the foot?
So in 2018-19 offseason, when Paul Goldschmidt was traded from the Diamondbacks, I almost said the Cardinals.
To the Cardinals,
To the Cardinals. It's really confusing because there's Arizona in play there. Just like, come on, guys. So they didn't really get much for him.
What was the contract status then? Was he a year away? Because he signed a big contract with the
Yes, but he was arguably the best first baseman in baseball.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. He was having
all around player, all around player, which Voit is not.
Right.
So I don't know what Voit could garner you in a trade. So I plugged it into the baseball trade value, and they acquired
I think with the way the Indians are, though, before you get to the analysis of the trade, as far as the fairness or whatever, or the weight of the trade, I think that the Indians are in a place, and they've done this in the past, where they trade away assets, but they want to get prospects in return. But at the same time, they don't want to diminish the field, the play on the field. They want to diminish it as little as they possibly can. And they've done a pretty decent job of doing that, to be honest.
Especially because if you're the Indians, like, oh, we have a pitching staff that can compete, so why are we going to just totally punt? They're not going to do that.
Right. So if you can get a major league player, like a guy like Luke Voit, is a necessity in a deal like that. I'm not saying like he's the guy that's going to be built around, but he's part of the deal. So I think a guy like Voit is going to have to be part of that deal.
Maybe. So
just looking at how they've done deals in the past 3-5 years.
The baseball trade value, which takes into account obviously talent on the field, but also contract status, they assign Luke Voit a 19 value and they assign Lindor a 36 value. Even though Lindor is a free agent after next year, and Luke Voit's not a free agent until like 2023 or 2024 or something.
I don't like this website and the way that they weigh
it. But it's because of the position. First basemen are not.
Lindor's also coming off a dog shit season, so they don't take that into consideration, or they don't take into consideration the fact that he's only a 1-year player.
They do take all that into consideration.
How do they take into consideration?
And even with
the market?
That, he's still a lot higher value than Luke Voit. And I think it goes to the first baseman angle. When you compare Lindor to his peers, he is far and away better. And Luke Voit to his peers, he's not far and away better.
How much better? I mean, it's you can't do this. You have to look at the last 5 years, probably. The last 5 years, if you did a comparison of Didi and Lindor.
Lindor's
I know he's a better player. I'm not saying it's that close. I'm just curious in how close it is. That's the number. So,
The last 5 years, Didi's probably, this is off the top of my head, probably like a 110 WRC plus guy, or a 105 WRC plus guy, and Lindor's probably like a 125.
So when you're looking at the two players, though, and you're trying to identify,
and he's a switch hitter, and he's a better defensive shortstop.
He's younger, I think. Close. And everybody's older than I think they are, but I'm pretty sure he's younger. I know it's not, but I'm saying they're both available now. One's going to be a hell of a lot cheaper than the other. Is it value-wise better to go after the guy that's a free agent? You'll probably sign Didi. Didi's probably not going to sign another 1-year contract, I would assume. Probably you're looking for a three-year deal, right? 3-5 year deal.
Yeah, I think he probably wants to get out of these 1-year contracts, get away from this,
He's not the type of player who's going to put up like
this
a stud
whole
year
CBA thing and stuff.
He's not. I mean, Darrell Revis and you look at Bauer. Like, these guys are at the top of their game at that point. They can do that and build more value. Didi can't really do that. So it's in his interest to sign a bigger deal. And I think the reason he signed that 1-year deal is just because he wasn't getting it last year. So I think he's going to be looking for that. So theoretically, you could sign Didi for a 3-5 year deal, probably very reasonably priced. And guess what? It's not a big popular player by any means, but there's definitely been a free agent mark that's already set, right? We saw Robbie Ray just signed a deal. Was it 6 or 8 million? 1 year, 6 million or 8 million? I'm forgetting now. It was low. It was really low.
Yeah. He was someone that the Yankees were linked to in trade for like 2 years from the Diamondbacks and stuff. I have no clue how this offseason is going to go. I think it's all indications are that it's going to be a low spending offseason, which sucks for all these free agent players. Sucks for a guy like Didi, who's seemingly never going to get a contract. He put up 2 great years with the Yankees towards the end of it. We thought he was going to be signed long term, and it's just bad timing for him.
Robbie Ray signed a 1-year, $8 million contract just now, past couple of days.
Yeah,
that's
and we're gonna have news on the qualifying offers. I think Tuesday's the deadline, so we're gonna have some news there.
But when you see a guy like that who has definitely been talked about in midseason trade rumors for a long time, for like the past 3 years, it seems like 4 years maybe, for a guy like that who is a free agent, signs a 1 year, $8 million deal as a starting pitcher, and he's going to be a starting pitcher in that rotation, a lefty starting pitcher. That's not good for the market, for the players. $8 million for a 1 year deal. That's not good. Not a good sign. So there could be some steals around here if you're willing to pay above market value for a couple more years. And this is what I was kind of referring to last time. I think teams with deep pockets that are in better financial situations this year can amass some talent a hell of a lot cheaper than they could 2 to 3 years ago. A hell of a lot cheaper.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there's no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. And I've used this before to hire. Let me tell you, $75, you're probably going to get your candidate. You're going to get a ton of candidates with that amount of credit. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now, Indeed.com/BlueWire.
Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
The wait is finally over, guys. Football is back. You may not be at a game this year, but you can still be on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure that you can get in on every single possible chance to win the season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on the season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. And don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert.
So the Robbie Ray contract, we'll maybe know after these qualifying offers are decided on. Does that change your opinion on how the Yankees should approach this offseason? Because there's other guys that they've been, you know, we didn't mention Charlie Morton in our offseason plans. I know there was a vesting option on his contract that I guess is not going to get kicked in, but he's a free agent.
I think a lot of these free agents that are happening right now, and when we were talking about this, I mean, so much happened in a week. We probably should have waited a week. But the fact that there were so many offers that were not accepted or not, that were not picked up at all. There were no qualifying offers were not.
You're talking about vesting
options. I'm sorry. Or, the options were not picked up on the
team
club
options. Yeah. Team options.
They were not picked up.
I don't think it's been. No one has. So six players received qualifying offers. I don't think anyone has said yes or no yet.
But 2 years ago.
I'll look it up right
all
now.
All of those vesting options are probably picked up. 2 to 3 years ago, they're picked up.
But like we talked about Chris Archer last episode. Is he going to be getting? I mean, he hasn't been good.
You can't put Charlie Morton and Chris Archer in the same category at all.
No.
Charlie Morton has been a good
pitcher. Morton's wasn't a team option; it was a vesting option. So he didn't reach the qualifications to get his option picked up.
Okay, I thought there was a team. There was some team decision within that point. Anyway,
so I guess Bauer has rejected the quote ridiculous qualifying offer.
Oh, is that what he just said? This is the year, and that Robbie Ray contract is a sign to me that these deals are not going to be where these guys think they are. So
no,
so they're going to do two things. They're going to try to get 1 year deal, and then what? Wait to the
why?
To the CBA?
Why are you going to sign a 1 year deal right now? You want to sign a multi-year?
Right, deal. That's my thing. But the 1 year deal just happened to $8 million for a guy like Robbie Ray. I know Robbie Ray is not the talent bar that anybody wants to see, but he is a bar somewhere. And by looking at that $8 million, okay, Robbie Ray 2 years ago probably gets, if he signs a one-year deal, probably close to $17, $18 million. Close to that, I'd say, right?
Yeah, I mean, J-Hap got 17.
Look at J-Hap, all right? Exactly. So $8 million. That's insanely low. When you look at that, that means...
So why weren't the Yankees in on Robbie Ray for $8
million? Because you know what? They saw that and they're like, I don't want Robbie Ray. I'm going after Trevor Bauer. Because
it's like when you see something on sale, you're like, oh, that couldn't possibly be good.
Yeah. Well, no. You look at that, like, what else is on sale? Oh, if that's on sale, that, you know, that the car that I've been looking for. Okay. If that thing's
on sale,
you're going
discount shopping.
Yeah. You might as well go for the high stuff and go to like TJ Maxx and get something that's name brand. Don't settle for the generic shit. Go get Trevor Bauer now and pay pennies on the dollar for a multi-year deal.
Nah,
it's not
going to
be pennies on
the
dollar.
We've seen in when free agency has been out of whack, we've seen guys like Robbie Ray sign for $8 million, maybe a guy like Kevin Gausman. You know, we'll sign Moustakas, we'll sign these guys. But then the top guys still get what they're worth. Because you're still Trevor Bauer, you're still a Cy Young caliber.
There's a lot of haziness around Trevor Bauer, enough to not be that confident There are things to doubt when it comes to him. So,
well, I'll tell you this. If Trevor Bauer ends up signing somewhere for a discount, we'd be real pissed if the Yankees weren't there.
Seriously. Yeah, I mean, sure. You don't know what... It wouldn't surprise me if it was up to a one-year deal, and he's already teased this, that he would go to Japan.
$40 million.
Or go to Taiwan. Or go somewhere
else.
That's
the thing. Well, if you're one of these guys this year, you're like, well, there might be a lockout after next year.
Yeah, they might.
Neither side can get on the same page. Sign the one-year qualifying offer.
Popping next year.
DJ LeMahieu, take that one-year qualifying offer. Then I just want to play ball. I just need to put some eye black on and field some grounders. I'm going to Japan, baby.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting market, but I think the savvy GMs are going to be poised and ready to go for this strange market. And if I'm looking for signs, I see a new market. I'm looking for signs and which way it's going to go so I can try to be ready for, you know, all directions, but also try to make calculated guesses on the way things might go and looking at trends. And when I see that first contract signed at $8 million for a guy that's been relatively coveted at the trade deadline for the past 3 to 4 years, that's a sign that we're not seeing big deals for in a small market.
So one thing I want to go back to
that's not a small market, a medium-sized market. It's not a small market.
To the question that I meant to mention. So Alex said, can we move DJ to first base? Where do you stand on that? Because that doesn't really get the most value out of DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah,
at first base.
I know. But here's one of the things that you've mentioned quite often about first baseman. I think this conversation has happened a lot within the topic of Gary Sanchez. Gary Sanchez's value behind the plate with his offense is... theoretically used to be out of this world, right? He's the best offensive...
Purely hypotheticals when we're talking about Gary Sanchez at this point.
The best offensive catcher. When you move him to a different position, now those offensive numbers don't look as good when you start
When you compare him to first baseman or compare him to DHs, it's not the same.
I feel like we need to get away from this model because this model to me does not make a lot of sense.
No. So that's not where I was going.
No, I know. No, but right now, where we are today, this model... to me, doesn't matter for the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees have to make sure that they have a complete team. I don't really give a shit where people
play. You gotta just win the World Series next year. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But what I was saying for DJ is he's not as valuable defensively at first base as he is at second base.
I know that. But when you're moving, but when you look at the construction of the team, is the team more valuable? Is the infield more valuable with him at second base and Luke Voit at first? Or him at first and Glaber at second and Lindor/Didi at short. I'd argue that DJ at first base at that point makes the better infield than him at second base with the other guys where they are. And when you're looking at the grand scheme of things, to me, I don't give a shit the offensive type that you are when you plug into first base. If you're not a home run guy, if you're not a power guy, I don't care anymore. It doesn't mean things to me. When you go to first base, DJ LeMahieu is not going to put up prototypical first base numbers. But what he's going to do is he's going to put up prototypical DJ LeMahieu numbers, and that is good.
I was not even... the offense, to me, is well worth it. He's been one of the best offensive performers in the league the last 2 years. Doesn't matter what position.
Hear people talking about... and not DJ, because there's no DJ slander in Yankee land. There really isn't. Probably
this podcast slander, will not tolerate DJ slander.
We will not tolerate it. But for the most part,
depends.
Yankees
what
fans,
if he signs? What if he signs with the Red Sox?
For the most,
what if he signs with the Tampa Bay Rays? What if the Tampa Bay Rays sign him? Then can we have DJ slander?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he's safe when he's on the when he's in the Bronx. When he's not on this team, he's not.
Well, if like the, if the Los Angeles Angels or someone swoops in with a better offer than the Yankees, I'm not going to hate on DJ. But
I will shit on any player that's not on the Yankees with no problems. If you've left the Yankees and you're...
No, the team definitely matters.
Either way, here's the point. None of the offensive... There are people that would say, I need production out of my... I need pop from the corners.
You need certain things. You need home runs. You need walks. Yeah, you need runs batted.
I need a lefty. I need nothing. I need none of that. I don't need any of that.
Well, does your question is... Or excuse me, your point actually does make sense where it's like when you look at the infield holistically, is DJ, Gleyber, Lindor, Gio, or DJ, Gleyber, Gio?
Oh, I forgot about the Gio Lindor factor.
Yeah, they're best buds.
I know. I forgot about that.
We're going to have so many gifts of them just high-fiving and stuff unless they trade Gio because Gio has more trade value than Luke Voit. No one's talking about that, but he does.
Yeah, but
he plays a more premium position and he's been one of the best offensive third basemen in baseball. And he also is on a cheap contract.
But that won't make the good story. I need Lindor and Gio on the same team.
So do the one of those infields I just mentioned, holistically, is that better than their current infield? And I don't think you can argue no. I don't think you can argue no. Or yes. I don't know what I'm arguing.
It doesn't matter what you're saying. The fact is the new infield would be better defensively.
The new old infield because Didi is coming back. I don't see any chance the Yankees re-signing.
Oh, really? I think Didi of anybody would have a window to be come back in. I think the Yankees would be open to that. I really do.
I don't.
And I think Didi would be open to it. Why not? There's no bad.
It's not that not that they would be closed to it. I just don't think they're in on him.
Well, maybe that could be it. Maybe they're not in on him as a player. If that's the case, then fine. I think the reason why Didi didn't sign here had everything to do with them moving Gleyber over to short. I think that was more
right. They chose Gleyber over Didi,
and if that's still the commitment, that shortstop Gleyber, no matter what, that is changing this conversation because then they wouldn't be even talking about Lindor. But if they're,
do you think that hurts the Gleyber psyche? If I'm going back,
you keep trying to make him like a bitch.
No, that's not what I'm saying. You're putting words in my mouth. That's unfair. But if you basically, we're anointing you the shortstop, and then we're taking that away from you and bringing back the guy who we had a year ago.
This is like Clint Frazier. This is like the Clint Frazier drama. No, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that one has a little bit more of a soap opera feel to it. But at the same time, Didi's so nice. Didi will just draw him a picture.
Didi play him a song.
Didi will give him a better emoji than a bottle. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe there's some. You know what? I didn't appreciate the bottle. I'm not a baby. I'm a man.
He's a baby on the team.
I hear a toddler coming, though.
Okay. So we're going to wrap this episode up. It is a little bit shorter of an episode.
He can be in the background
today.
We should mention the minor league shift, though, real quick. The minor league shift. There's a lot of things that happened with the minor leagues. The minor leagues are now... very different for the New York Yankees. Scranton
for
stays
the Yankees,
the same.
Yeah.
Scranton
yeah.
stays the same. Trenton at Double A no longer. They will be playing.
And did you see those quotes from their owner? He's like, it's a betrayal. He's pissed. He's saying that the Yankees are good. He said something about that they're just taking it to a more wealthy community or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's trying to, whatever. I didn't read too much into that. So I'm going to be very. Transparent here. It's more convenient to go to Somerset than it is to Trenton.
Kayagawa went to Trenton every day.
It's a more convenient.
He filtered back between. He flopped between Scranton and Trenton.
So Somerset will be the Somerset Patriots will be the Double A team. I don't like the fact that they're called the Patriots. I would appreciate a rename, but
I don't hate it.
Probably not going to happen. Charleston no longer. They are going to be the Hudson Valley team. Staten Island no longer. The New York Penn League. The Penn League is basically
Wappeningers. Wappeningers. Wappeningers.
Wappeningers Falls. And
they were the Rays affiliate, so maybe some nerds are going to be still in those tunnels.
And then finally, Tampa. So Pulaski's gone, Charleston's gone. Tampa is going from high A to low A.
Staten Island's gone. So the New York Penn League has just been totally scrapped. It's sad because this isn't just about the Yankees. This is a league-wide thing where COVID has totally wiped out minor league.
Well, it was happening before COVID started.
But we talked about how COVID, like a lot of things we're probably going to see with like companies allowing work from home and all that kind of stuff, it was a kick in the ass that they're just glad to use as an excuse.
Well, yes, and also the fact that it's very difficult to make money with a minor league organization, period. So you're looking at the facilities as well for some of these guys. They're going to have to go through rehab. They're going to be doing things at these places. You got to make sure that they're up to standards for your major league players as well when they're going
and
through
accessible.
Those. And accessible. And accessible. So now you have a tri-state area trifecta with a high A ball, a double A ball, and then Scranton, which is a – you know, shuttle right away.
It was always absolutely insane when I thought when the Yankees AAA was in Columbus.
Right.
Remember that?
For a long time.
Or isn't the Mets still in Vegas?
I don't know where they were in Norfolk for a long time. There were the Tides, then the Orioles came
I
over.
Think the Mets AAA is Vegas. I'm going to Google that real quick. Which doesn't make any sense. It's like you got to send a guy for a rehab. And Syracuse Mets.
I was gonna say I thought Syracuse or Binghamton, or maybe that's Double A.
They were in Vegas within the last decade.
Now we're going back 10 years. It certainly changes things.
They were in Vegas within the 1900s to 2000s.
Yeah, within the last quarter century. Since I've been alive, they've been in Vegas, and I don't even think that's true, honestly, because the Mets were in Norfolk for a long time. No, because the Yogi Berra was a manager with the Norfolk Mets, the Norfolk Tides, I'm sorry, and they were in a Mets
affiliate. The Las Vegas Aviators was the Mets AAA team up until 2017.
Okay, when did they must have gone there from Norfolk then. That's probably what happened. It happened after Norfolk. Because they were the Tidewater Tides.
The Las Vegas 51s, 2001 to 2018.
riveting, riveting audio here. This is some Mike Francesa audio.
Mike Francesa moment.
Every time I hear like a dead time in any kind of audio radio podcasting, I think of Francesa.
You know, why doesn't Wikipedia just tell me the major league franchise? Like you got to be okay. Mets 2013 to 2018. They were affiliate of the Mets 2013 to 2018.
Okay.
I don't know about the Norfolk Tide
before that. They were up until, again, my years have been jumbled apart, but 2012 then. I know when I was in school, they were in Norfolk because David Wright was all the rage.
Great. All right. Well.
But yeah, so things are different. That happens every, 4 to 5 years, it seems. Things change around. Things shift.
This year, it's
ramped up, because of COVID. And because of the conversations that had been happening anyway with Major League, and this just made it, you're right, it made it easier for them to make these adjustments because, of course.
It's fewer jobs.
They probably have no choice at this point.
Minor league players, and I know there was a lot of talk during the COVID shutdown was that, you know, remember there was a 5-round draft or a 10-round draft or something really short? And that was just all positioning to have fewer minor league teams because you don't have as many players, so it's just fewer all around. You're just downsizing basically for the Yankees. It doesn't. I mean, they're still not short for cash, even though Steinbrenner is saying that they've had a hard year. But
I could see
other organizations.
If I'm looking into the future at like what is going to trend more, I could see more of the professional teams sending players into the Caribbean. And potentially just expanding those facilities more. Maybe another league
starts
there.
Are they going to be affiliates?
I wouldn't be surprised. But again, these affiliates mean nothing. They're privately owned. They're still privately owned. They're deals. They're partner deals.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised. So yeah.
Okay.
We got to see some of these. By the time we talk again, for sure, we will have some answers on these qualifying offers.
Yep. Yeah, and if obviously DJ accepts it, that's going to be huge news.
We'll pop back on.
He's back. Yeah, we'll pop back on for a quick
celebratory
thing.
A celebratory DJ LeMahieu podcast.
There might be. I'm not going to say definitely, but there might be another episode later this week on this feed.
People have been asking about the history episodes.
I know. We have to talk about it.
We're talking about it, but they're in the plans. I would say it's safe to say that they're in the plans.
They're in the plans. Yes, definitely. And I appreciate everyone asking. That means you guys liked them. If you guys are listening and you don't know what we're talking about because maybe you didn't listen during COVID, from like March through the season, through the first week of the season, I did a history episode every week. I think there's like 20 something of them. So go check those out. They came out every Friday, a brief history, and then of a certain topic of the Yankees. Go back and listen to them if you have not listened. They're evergreen, so would appreciate it, definitely. And yes, there will be more of those at some point this offseason. All right. You good?
I'm good. You good? Yeah, man. Big week on my end, so hopefully things are good here, and I will be in and out of contact. But yeah, man. I'm looking forward to seeing more stuff here. The Yankees need to sign DJ LeMahieu and take my mind off some shit. Happened last time.
that would be good. Let's get Jason Zillow on the phone.
There you go. All
right. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.